الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi. In one narration, which is found in the book Al-Qawlul Badi' Fi Salati ala Al-Habib Al-Shafi' it stated that Sayyiduna Sufyan bin Uyayna radiyallahu ta'ala an, he said, there was a brother, a friend of mine, who passed away, and after he passed away and departed from this world, I saw him in a dream. I asked him, Ma fa'ala Allahu bika? How did Allah Azza wa Jal deal with you? He said, Allah Ta'ala granted me forgiveness. I asked, due to which amal, due to which action were you forgiven? And he states, I would write a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and whenever there would be mention of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I would recite, rather I would write salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, whatever wordings he used. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mention was made, this person would write Salat ala Nabi. He says, due to this amal, due to this action of mine, Allah Ta'ala forgave me. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Respectable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani Channel, we live in this dunya, we come alone, we go alone. But whilst in the dunya, we live amongst people. We interact with people. We meet people. We sit with people. We have various relationships, familial relationships, friends, colleagues. Now, during these interactions, during our time on earth, as Muslims, our beautiful deen of Islam teaches us to ensure that we are beneficial to our fellow Muslims, be it within our homes, the work environment, masjid, wherever we are to ensure that we're providing benefit to others, and we must ensure that we're always refraining from and avoiding causing pain and harm to others. Because that goes against the teachings of the religion of Islam. Islam is about being a well-wisher for others. In this short bayan, inshallah, I would like to mention some examples, some cases of how we can, sometimes unknowingly, become a cause of harm for others. Before I do so, keep one powerful hadith, profound hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in mind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, that man aadha musliman faqad aadhani. Whoever harmed a Muslim, he has caused trouble to me. He has inconvenienced me. Wa man aadhani, and whoever has troubled me, faqad aadha Allah. He has displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very comprehensive statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever harms a Muslim, in reality, he is harming and causing trouble to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever troubles the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is displeasing Allah. And what does Al-Quranul Kareem say about those who cause pain to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Surah Ahzab, Allah Ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina yu'dhuna Allah wa rasulahu la'anahumullahu fid dunya wal akhirati wa'adda lahum 'adhaban muhina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, indeed those who harm Allah and His Messenger, the curse of Allah is upon them in the dunya, in the world, and in the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them an insulting punishment. Now, when we hear such ahadith, when we hear such verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, our mindset is somewhat made that I must refrain from harming others. If not, then the curse of Allah will be upon me. And what does it mean that the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon someone? The scholars of Islam say, wherever in the hadith, wherever in Quran it says that Allah ta'ala's la'na, curse be upon someone, it means that that person will be distanced from the mercy of Allah. If he is distanced from the mercy of Allah, kept far away from the mercy of Allah, how will he gain salvation? So, we have to ensure that we listen carefully to the points that will be mentioned, examples that will be mentioned. We may be guilty of them ourselves. But remember, as Muslims, the best of sinners are those who repent, who rectify their ways, who realize that they did wrong. They bow down in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And then He gives them the glad tidings of forgiveness as well. So the first account is regarding the great Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. It states regarding him that once he was walking somewhere, Sayyiduna Mis'ar bin Kidam, rahmatullahi alayh, is narrating this. He says, we were walking somewhere when accidentally, unintentionally, the great Imam, the leader of the Hanafis, Al-Imam Al-A'zam, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayh, accidentally stood on someone's foot. A child was there, a young person was maybe sitting on the roadside, and that child let out a scream. And when he let out a scream due to the pain, he said, Ya Shaykh, do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exacting revenge or punishment upon you on the Day of Judgment? Do you not fear this? Al-Imam Al-A'zam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, when he heard this, he began to tremble. He was a man of Allah. He was someone who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he heard the young child, the young boy say this, that do you not fear that Allah will punish you on the Day of Judgment for what you have done? The great Imam began trembling and he fell unconscious. Now, think about it. Never in a million years can we say, or can we even imagine, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh did this intentionally. Because he was an epitome of the teachings of Islam. He lived Islam, he breathed Islam, he knew about the rights of Islam. If we begin mentioning only those incidents which are related to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh and huququl ibad, then we would spend hours and hours. How he was fearful of violating rights of people. So we know he didn't do this intentionally. It was by accident. Yet when he heard the child say, O Shaykh, do you not fear the Day of Judgment and Allah punishing you for this? He fell unconscious. Now we, on the other hand, it may be the case for many from amongst us that we do acts like this, but we do them deliberately even. Never mind intentionally, we may do unintentionally, we may even do them intentionally. And when we're made aware, we don't think anything of it. We're careless regarding it. We're neglectful. And sometimes people use these incidents to show their own power. Arrogance creeps in. What are you going to do about it? If I stepped on you, if I pushed you, if I harmed you in any way, and you're annoyed by that, what are you going to do about it? And now, in this day and age, with social media, clips like this surface every day. Road rage, other issues, other instances where people lash out for the simplest of things. And ma'azallah, even go to the extent of taking someone's life as well. So, this is one example of harming others. Another example is, whilst living with people, there are some people who are more closer to us than others. There are people who are more beloved to us than others. And as such, we may interact with them more. They may even invite us to their house for a meal. we may invite them as well. Now, here is another example of how unknowingly we may end up harming other people. If you're invited to someone's house for a meal, you're a guest at someone's house, they're the host. Islamically speaking, there are adab, there are manners and etiquettes of visiting someone. When you visit someone's home for a meal, he's invited you, there are some adab. The adab include when you go, you greet that person. Islamic greeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nowadays, people neglect this as well. They have their own slang and their own way of greeting. But the Islamic way of greeting is the best way, full of barakah. And then when you go to someone's house, they've invited you. Whilst there, you have to ensure that you do not say anything or you do not do anything that will cause pain and dishearten the host. Let me give you some examples. If you go to someone's house and you begin looking at the room, the decor, the sofa, the tables, and you start commenting, that looks like you've had this table for years. Or what's the point of having a fan on? It's summer and you say, what's the point of having the fan on? You might as well not have it on. I can't feel anything. Or speaking about the sofa, saying these are quite old. You should invest in some new ones. And then when the food is served, Allahu Akbar, oh, it's too spicy. Oh, I was expecting something else. This is not to my liking. These things are a direct way of harming the host, disheartening the host, causing pain to the host. The host is probably thinking, why did I even invite this person? This person came to my house, I invited him with good intentions, and now he's criticizing me. Some people have this bad habit. They find it very hard to compliment people. They say bad things, they're always nitpicking. So when you go to someone's house, when you go for a meal, when you visit someone, then you should ensure that you abide by the etiquettes of visiting. You should say words that comfort the host. You should not rebuke the host child if the child is playing up. Oh, haven't you taught the child any manners? He doesn't know how to respect his guests. So these are things that we should be mindful of. And criticizing food, the thing that I mentioned, this is so disliked in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it's narrated regarding him that he would never pick out faults in food. In fact, the Sahaba, they relate, the ahadith mention, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever ate food at home or outside, if he desired to eat the dish, he would eat it. If not, he would not eat it. Simple. You will never find an example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finding faults in food. And people who do this, not only are they doing something which is khilafu sunnah, against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great scholars of the past have said, this is also a sign of greed, avarice, hirs, that when you go and you start picking faults in food. And remember one thing, that some people think, okay, when I go to someone's house, I'll keep quiet. But at home, it's my own home, I can say what I like. Even there, we shouldn't do so. Imagine someone's wife, someone's spouse has taken hours cooking. And in between that, she's been looking after children. She's been doing other chores in the house as well. And when the food is served, the husband turns around and says, what's this? I could have done better than this. Then you should have then. Or if he says, too much salt. This is not to my liking. What have you been doing all day? You know, I've had a long, hard day at work. Why is the food tasting like this? Even these things are examples of how we harm others, harm people in our own household as well. The wife won't be pleased with that. She'd think to herself, I put all this effort into it and he couldn't even tolerate it. Okay, it wasn't 100% to his liking, but why did he say such words? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala famously said that if somebody is inflicted with a wound using a spear or any other weapon or anything, then over time that wound will heal. But Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem says that if a person wounds someone with their words, with their kalimat, with their statements, with their utterances, then they don't heal. Those wounds don't heal. A person reflects upon them. That person said this to me, even if it's 20 years ago, even if it's 10 years ago. So we must be careful in what we say, especially when we go to people's houses. If they've invited us, consider that a big favor, that they've invited you. They've considered you worthy of being invited. And if we go there and we leave with pile of sins on our heads because we've said this about their house, we've said this about their children, we've criticized the food, then we'll be in loss. Similarly, when you go and visit a sick person, Islamically speaking, this is called iyada. And it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we find out somebody's ill, they're close to us, we should go and visit them. But even there are so many adab that we forget. So many etiquettes, a lack of knowledge, we haven't studied. So when we go, first of all, we should know what kind of illness is the person suffering from. If it's such an illness where he's in severe pain, and you're going with the intention that I'm going to spend lunchtime there all the way till evening and I'll have my dinner there as well, this is incorrect. You know that the person is facing severe pain because of his illness. It may be a terminal illness, it may be cancer or something. So when a person is there, he should be mindful of the state of the patient. And if his visit should be only for 5 minutes, he should stay for 5 minutes and leave. Similarly, scholars of Islam have said, when you go and visit a sick patient, try and mention words of comfort. If you find out about his state, you find out that he hasn't got long to live, you shouldn't do izhar, you shouldn't mention that before the patient. That you go there, and the only thing you say is, oh, soon you'll be gone, oh, it's terrible that you're suffering from this. And these things, instead of increasing his spirits, will lower his spirits. So these things we should be mindful of. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khairun nasi man yanfa'un nas." The best of people are those who benefit others. And today in this bayan, we're hearing about examples of how, instead of benefiting, we harm others. We've heard some examples. Let's listen to a few other examples as well. In this dunya, when we live amongst our family members. But then, depending on where we live, which area, we have our neighbors as well. And in one narration, the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported that neighbors, the meaning of neighbors in Islam is up to 40 houses in your area. So sometimes we think it's just the neighbor next door, left or the right. But in one narration, we're told 40 households are included in neighbors. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, he is not a believer." He took a qasam upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, "By Allah, he is not a believer." He said it again the second time, "By Allah, he is not a believer." And then he said it a third time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this statement, "By Allah, such and such a person is not a believer." The Sahaba, they were inquisitive, they inquired, they said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who are you referring to? By this statement, who do you refer to?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who harms his neighbor." The one who harms his neighbor, this statement is regarding him. Just to clarify, the ulama of Islam have said, the sharihin have written, that this hadith means that he is not a kamil believer, a perfect believer. It does not negate faith totally. It does not mean the person has left the fold of Islam or is a disbeliever. What it means is he's not a kamil believer. Why is he not a kamil believer? Because he's not reflecting the teachings of Islam. He's not reflecting the teachings of Islam. So, neighbors, we must respect them as well. There's a famous narration regarding a woman who was mentioned before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she worships often, abundantly. She's an abida. She has these awsaf. She worships, she gives charity, she does all of these good deeds, but she harms her neighbors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said she's in hellfire. And then another woman was mentioned before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that she's not able to worship as much as the first woman. But one thing that can be said about her, she is good to her neighbors. Meaning her neighbors will certify that she's a good neighbor. She's a good woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, she's in paradise. Now here, just to clarify before I move on, this was in regards to companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahabiyat. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned she's in hellfire, that didn't mean that it's wajib for her to go to hell. What it meant was that this action of hers is an action that makes one worthy, can lead someone to hell. But because the Sahaba were such Muslims that they would always be regretful over their actions, especially when it would reach them. And most certainly this hadith reached her. This saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached her. She did tawbah and she repented. The Sahaba all repent before they pass away. And this is why we say all the Sahaba are dwellers of paradise, Jannah. Moving on, further examples of how people harm others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, rather Al-Quran al-Kareem mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. O believers, do not nullify your sadaqah by reminding others of favors by harming them. Now here, this is another problem as well. In the dunya, whenever somebody favors someone, is in a position to favor someone, do good to someone, sometimes that gets to his head. And he thinks, now this is a means for me to control that person. Forever I will make that person listen to me, subservient to me, whatever I say. And I will put this forward. That remember so-and-so time, remember when you were in difficulty, I helped you and now that's it, you have to listen to whatever I say. Now if this person plucks up the courage one day and he says, this opinion that you have or this thing that you did is wrong, and he calls him out for it, that person will become angry. How dare you speak to me? How dare you question my opinion or action? Do you remember when I did so-and-so? And there's plenty of examples. For example, somebody could have been in financial difficulties. Another person helped him out. And then he taunts him and he says to him that, remember when you were down and out? Remember you were struggling? Who helped you? I helped you. Or someone helped another person. His child was sick. And this person had a link with the doctor and he was able to get the child checked out quickly. He uses that against him. Whatever. There's plenty of examples. I'm sure we can even think of it as well. When someone reminds others of favors, then the Mufassireen in Tafsir Khazin, in Khazain al-Irfan, it says, when you start taunting people regarding the favors you've done to them, you've just wasted the reward for that favor. And a person should think to himself, that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who enabled me in the first place. I did not help of my own accord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me tawfiq to help another person. And he should do shukr upon that. He should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that. And he should never use that example or that situation to show arrogance before that person. Or to get that person to forcefully listen to him. This is incorrect. Whenever we do so, then a person will lose the reward. Mufti Abdul Mannan, rahmatullahi alayhi, was an expert in the Islamic sciences. He relates regarding his grandfather. He says, my grandfather would work for someone. He was a laborer. And one day my grandfather went to receive his wage, his salary. And it was a family-run business. So one of the people, they said to my grandfather, oh, you've come again. You just came last week to receive your salary. And ma'adallah, that person, that employer, began taunting the grandfather of Mufti Abdul Mannan rahmatullahi alayhi. And listen to what he said. Astaghfirullah. He said, you worship day and night. Whenever we see you're involved in devotional practices of Islam, why don't you ask him to sort your financial situation out? Meaning, why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's taunting the person for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's saying to him, why don't you ask him? Now, when the grandfather of Mufti Abdul Mannan rahmatullahi alayhi came home, he kept repeating, he kept saying, how can people say things like this? Are they even Muslims? How can they even think like this? That if you know there's a Muslim who is pious, who's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, why would you ever use that against him? Why would you ever taunt him for that and say, oh, you've come to receive your salary from me, why don't you ask him who you worship day and night? And look at the anjam. When people are disrespectful to others, people try to control others or arrogant to others. Mufti Abdul Mannan rahmatullahi alayhi says that family, their offspring continued obviously running the business. And he says they lived as long as I lived as well. They're still alive. Obviously, the grandfather, Mufti Abdul Mannan, passed away. He says, I saw one of those people, the people who spoke disrespectfully to my grandfather, I saw that he was on his deathbed. He had three or four children alive. His offspring were alive. Yet there was not a single person to even put a drop of water in his mouth. And he says, Allah Ta'ala dislikes the disobedience of people. And if Allah has put you in that position of helping others, then you should be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for that. So these are examples of how we harm others. We've given examples of harming neighbors. We've given examples of harming a sick person. When you go and visit a sick person, you think you're doing a good deed. But then you go there, you say words which discomfort him. You stay for too long. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the greatest action is to leave instantly. And this was in reference to iyadah, when you go to meet people and you know they don't like you to stay there for long, you should leave quickly. Do dua for that person, give him a few words of comfort and leave. He said, what we do, we stay there, tabsira, start speaking upon all, you know, recent topics and whatever's going on in the media. And that person there is in pain. We also mentioned examples of Imam al-A'zam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh and his fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he unintentionally stood on someone. And that child said to him, O Imam, O Shaykh, do you not fear the Day of Judgment? Al-Imam al-A'zam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh fell unconscious. This was his taqwa, this was his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know for certain that he never did this intentionally. It was unintentional. But on a daily basis, maybe, we do things that harm others intentionally. We also mention how others can be harmed when we criticize them. Just say you went to someone's house for a meal. You start criticizing the house, the furniture, the children, the food. And that can even happen at home as well. Somebody's wife, somebody's spouse has cooked a meal and it's not 100% to this person's liking. He starts criticizing the wife. Can't you cook? You've been doing it all day. What is this? Am I supposed to eat this? So these are examples of how people end up harming others. And as Muslims, we need to refrain from this. Right at the beginning, we mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that whoever harms a Muslim harms me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever harms a Muslim harms me. And whoever harms me, meaning causes pain to me, then he has displeased Allah. Faqad aada Allah. He has displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how sensitive this matter is. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his sahaba, this is in Sahih Muslim, who is the destitute person? Who is the bankrupt person? Who is the poor person? The sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they answered and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the destitute person, the poor person, is the one who has no dirhams. He has no possessions. He has no assets. And that's the common understanding. Whenever we say somebody's broke, somebody is financially struggling, somebody is destitute, these are the things that come to our mind. He has no money. He has no possessions. He has no assets. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his sahaba that the bankrupt person, the muflis from my ummah, is the one who will come on the Day of Judgment with salah, with worship, abundant worship. Yet, at the same time, he will have abused someone. He will have swore at someone. He will have usurped the wealth of someone, seized it unlawfully. He would have done these kind of actions. And on the Day of Judgment, he'll be bankrupt. How? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will have to fulfill the rights of the people he oppressed in the dunya. How will he do so? His virtues, his good deeds that he attained via these worships will be given to that person who he wronged, who he swore at, who he fought, who he harmed. And if his virtues run out, and he still has not fulfilled the rights of all those people he oppressed in the dunya, then what will happen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, their sins will be placed on his shoulders. He'll be burdened with their sins. And then he'll be thrown into the fire of hell. This is in Sahih Muslim. So this matter and these aspects of the deen have to be highlighted, meaning never harm others. Don't be a means of harming others, causing pain to others. And if all Muslims develop this mindset, adopted this mindset, then subhanAllah, our communities would thrive, would flourish, would prosper. But the problem is today that everybody is looking out for number one, for themselves only. We become selfish. The Sahaba was selfless. Have we not heard of the accounts of the Sahaba? When they were dying, when they were breathing their last breaths, and water was being presented to them on the battlefield, they would say, go to my fellow brother so-and-so, he needs water more than me. When water would be taken to that Sahabi, he would say, go to so-and-so, he needs it more than me. And the narrator states that this would continue until the water would be brought to the first person and he would have passed away. And this was the selflessness, meaning the sacrifice of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alim Ajmain. In terms of their life, what is more valuable than life? But today, we can't compromise a little. People fight with neighbors, people fight with relatives, people argue, road rage. Whenever somebody goes for an appointment, if they're seen a bit late, they lash out. There's so many examples how we harm others. And at times, because of our lack of knowledge, because of our lack of study of deen, these things don't even cross our minds. What have I just done there? We don't even feel guilty. We go away thinking, oh, I've got the upper hand. I was right in saying that to him. And then we tell people as well. We say, you know what I said to him? This is how he reacted. And I lashed out at him. I gave him a mouthful. And we feel pride. We feel proud of that. Whereas these are not accomplishments. These are not achievements at all. So, my dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani Channel, harming others is something that we should refrain from at all costs. Just a few more accounts in this regard. And these accounts that I will mention now, this gives us a glimpse into the mindset that our pious predecessors, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in, had. It's narrated regarding one of our elders that he passed by a field and he picked up a stick from that field. The reason why he picked up that stick was that there were dogs nearby, wild dogs, and to ward them off, to drive them away, he picked up a stick. But then when he reached towards his home in the local masjid, he said to the people in the masjid that, safeguard this stick, because I took it from such and such a field. And they said to him, O Shaykh, this insignificant stick, why are you so mindful of this? It's only a stick. And that's when the Shaykh gave a wisdom-filled answer. And he said that if every single person came and had this mindset, it's only a stick, it's only this, it's only that, before you know it, whatever is in that field that belongs to someone would be gone. Then the next day, the very next day, it's mentioned that the Shaykh went and returned the stick to where he picked it up from. And we as Muslims today, we need to reflect. Have we got that kind of mindset? And in one hadith, we're told, the adna level, lowest level of iman, is that when you see something harmful in the way, you remove it. When you're driving on the road, when you're going somewhere, if you see something harmful, pick it up, put it to the side. How many of us even do that? So these are examples of our elders that we shouldn't just listen to, but we should adopt as well. A similar example is given regarding another one of our righteous, pious predecessors, that he was walking somewhere with some of his companions, when a companion, he touched a spike of corn or wheat, but he did not pull it off, he just touched it. And the Shaykh said to him, said to this companion of his, go and repent, go and apologize to the owner of the orchard. He said, Shaykh, why? What have I done that I have to go and apologize? I just touched it. It's still intact. It's not damaged. Nothing like that. And giving a similar reply to the previous righteous elder, he said, if everybody does what you do, if 1,000 people came and just touched it, will it not eventually become damaged? He said, you're right, it would. And then he said to him that you cannot remain with us, you cannot stay with us until you have gone and apologized. Only then you can come back and travel with us. So this is the mindset of our elders. They looked out after the huquq, the rights of others. their property, their possessions, everything. And the Prophet said in one beautiful hadith that كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. Famous hadith that every Muslim is prohibited, forbidden on another Muslim. In what aspect? Damuhu, his blood is prohibited. You can't shed the blood of another Muslim. You can't usurp the wealth, unlawfully take the wealth of another Muslim. And his honor as well. But if you look at it today, these very three things, Ma'azallah, the Ummah, is violating these things, taking life, the life of others, taking the wealth of others, dishonoring others, and still not having any sleepless night. Meaning a person who does that should have a sleepless night. He should think, what did I do? How did I take this matter so easily? How did I go and take someone's wealth? And that was, you know, perhaps his life saving. How did I go and do that? How did I go and dishonor someone in public? In private is bad, but in public as well, people will start dishonoring people, exposing people even. Remember, if you come to know about somebody's sin, ma'asiyah, only you know about it, you came to know about it, then what is the superior thing for you to do is to conceal that sin. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ say, if you find out about someone's sin and you conceal it, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your sins on the Day of Judgment. What happens here? A person finds out and he's eager. He's finding any opportunity to try and expose someone. And he does so as well. And nowadays with social media, so dangerous. All it takes is one post and you could reach an audience that you could never have reached before. Meaning in the past, you'd have to verbally go and tell people, one person, and then say, tell another person. Nowadays, you just post something regarding another individual, a sin that he's committed. Before you know it, someone on the other side of the world is even aware of it. So we're living in very testing times. Just to conclude, in today's bayan, we discussed the importance of safeguarding ourselves from harming others, harming their lives, harming their wealth, their honor. We gave plenty of examples in this regard as well. Alhamdulillah, in this environment of Dawat Islami, this is the mindset that is given. The founder of Dawat Islami is very cautious in regards to the rights of people, to the extent that once when sacrifice was being performed at his son's house, Haji Ubaid Raza, and during the sacrifice, the blood of the sacrificial animal went onto the wall of the neighbor. Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliya instantly said to his son, go and apologize. Go and seek forgiveness from the neighbor that this has happened. He went and the neighbor said, no, it's not an issue. Don't worry. But look at the sensitivity of the matter. Look at the mindset of Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatul Aliya, that when things like this happen, he ensures that we seek forgiveness. Why? If we don't seek forgiveness from people we've wronged in the dunya, then we will be regretful in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to understand what has been said today in the bayan and to act upon it as well. Ameen bijahin nabi al-ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
We are calling upon you, Allah.